afternoon. It's a pleasure being back here again. I'm so happy to see you all. And I'd like you to follow along in your Bibles with me, if you could, from John chapter 16, verse 4b. So partway through verse 4, please follow along. John comes after Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the New Testament part of the Bible. So I'll just wait a moment while you get that. So it's John chapter 16, verse 4, about partway through verse 4. Jesus says, "I did not tell you these things from the start because I was with you, but now I am going away to the one who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have told you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you." This is the word of the Lord, and we can say, thanks be to God. And the title of today's message is A Christian's Hidden Power. Before we begin, just to get comfortable, I wanted to do a little test here. I wanted to ask you a question. And the question is, what is the Trinity? What is the Trinity? Whoops. Yeah, this is you can probably see it's a multiple choice test. So here are the choices. The Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Scripture. Scripture is another word for the Bible, what you have in your hands right now. B, the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Moly. C, the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or the Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Living. So which one is it? Okay, now the two elders responded. That wasn't fair. I was hoping the younger people could respond first, but I'm sure you guys knew the answer too, right? Of course. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And here's a diagram. Here's a diagram for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Okay, they are all God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, the Trinity makes its appearance in the main point of today's message. And I'm going to read the main point of today's message. It is God and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us. Do you hear the Trinity in that main point? I'll read the main point again. See if you can hear the Trinity in that main point. God and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us. Okay? All three members of God are mentioned in the main point. And that is the main point for today. We are going to learn that God sent, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us. And this idea is important because we all need help. As Christians, we all need help. We all need help in general. People need help. In fact, the last time I was here, I shared a verse with you from Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So God is a help. Well, how does he help us? One way he helps us is through the Holy Spirit. Finding out more about the Holy Spirit is important. He's called the Helper here, and finding out more about the Helper matters because we all need God's help. We all need God's help as it is made available to us, and God's help is available to us. God's help is available to you and to me through the Helper. Today I'm going to read a verse from the Bible, explain what it means, try to show you that it's true, and show you what to do with it. That's how I'm going to use my time today. But first, I want to share with you a true story that will help you understand what the Helper does. This will give you an understanding of the Holy Spirit. It's a picture of how the Holy Spirit helps us. Molly Lee was a passenger on a flight from Charlotte, North Carolina, to New York, when another passenger made it clear that she wasn't very comfortable. Molly said it was at this point that the woman began crying. So one of the flight attendants on the plane heard the woman begin to cry. And immediately he went to comfort her and help her overcome the anxiety she was experiencing. And this is what Molly said. She said, he just was so reassuring, so calmly. He said, you know what? I got you. I'm going to be here for you. Just anything you need, let me know. And so with every little noise on the plane, the man who was sitting next to her, he told her what was happening. So she would be like, what's that sound? And he was like, that's just the jet bridge pulling away, or whatever the case may be. And that really helped her. He didn't have to do that, you know. And he just extended his heart and his hand to a stranger. And she said, that was beautiful to me, and I wanted to capture it. And she captured it in a photo. She posted it on Facebook, and it was shared 11,000 times. And it's a picture of the flight attendant sitting next to this sort of crying woman, holding her hand, comforting her. And that's an image of the Holy Spirit. He comforts us. He helps us when we're in distress. The disciples or followers of Jesus were full of fear to hear that Jesus would be leaving them. But he reassured them by saying, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. In John 14:16. God and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us. And the purpose of my message simply is, if you're a believer, I want you to be awake to and aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's there with you if you're a believer. Just like that flight attendant was there with the woman on the plane. The Holy Spirit is with you, if you're a believer, to help you. I want you to be awake to and aware of this truth because the Holy Spirit is in you. If you're not awake to and aware of this truth, you might end up working without the help of the Holy Spirit, but he's there for you. So I want you to remember this, that point, that he's there for you. I also want you to remember the point that he's given the Holy Spirit to believers, so just let him do his work. He can make your life a masterpiece for others to see Christ. Let's pray for just a moment before we get into the passage. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you for your help to preach this message. Help us understand also who this helper is, the Holy Spirit, whom you've sent for our benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John, a disciple or follower of Jesus, was a masterpiece for Jesus. He wrote the book or the Gospel of John that we're looking at today. John was a Jewish man or a Jew, and he was a member of Jesus' inner circle. You saw him in the film that we just watched. John was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He was called the disciple whom Jesus loved because he was so impressed that Jesus would love him. John would have been waiting and hoping for the Messiah to come as a Jew. The expected Messiah was a chosen king who would rule over the Jews and free them from their enemies, the Romans. The whole point of the Gospel of John is that Jesus is the promised Messiah and Son of God, and that by believing in Jesus, people might have eternal life, says the ESV Study Bible. Believing in Jesus gives us freedom from oppression, freedom not from the oppression of the Romans or our enemies, but freedom from the oppression of death and hell. And this is good news. Jesus is the Messiah who frees us from death and hell. John wrote to those of us who already believe in Jesus so that we would grow in our faith. And that was the second purpose of his writing. Growing in faith is so important that we need to learn about how the whole helper or the Holy Spirit can help us in our lives and help us grow in faith. So Jesus teaches about him in this section of the Bible. This chapter that we're looking at is about the predicted coming of the helper by Jesus. It is also about the rejection and hatred of the disciples by the Jewish religious leaders. Jesus is explaining to us here what the helper will do after he leaves by going to heaven. The Holy Spirit is called the helper in our passage today, and I want to look at Jesus leaving from three different angles in today's sermon. They are, number one, Jesus tells his disciples he is going away. That's one angle. Number two, the news of Jesus going away saddens the disciples. That's the second angle. And number three, Jesus going is good because he will leave behind the Holy Spirit to his followers. That's the third angle. So let's look at Jesus leaving from the first angle. Jesus tells his disciples he's going away. I can see that in this slide here. I did not tell you these things from the start because I was with you, Jesus said, but now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? So when Jesus says in verse 4b, I did not tell you these things from the start, what things is he referring to? What things is he talking about? Well, Jesus was talking about how the Jews who believed in him would be thrown out of their synagogues. Synagogue is where the Jews worshipped God. And all disciples, Jews and non-Jew, could be killed for following Jesus. The fact that you could be killed for being a Christian was normal in Jesus' day. And so he had to warn his disciples that that could happen to them. The fact that you could be killed was normal in the days of the first churches after Jesus rose from the dead. Being killed for believing in Jesus was normal throughout church history in certain parts of the world, and it's normal today in certain parts of the world that you could lose your life for your faith in Jesus. In fact, on average, more than 13 Christians are killed every day for their faith. That means almost every 2 hours, a believer is killed. That means during the course of this service, one believer in Jesus will die. That's roughly 5,000 people each year. And this is according to the annual report from Open Doors Ministries. In Canada, you don't hear many stories of Christians dying for their faith in this country, but we should always be ready for it. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all who desire to live a godly life following Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Godly means to live a good and holy Christian life. Persecuted means to be treated badly, to harm someone, or to be harmed again and again. And here is an image of some countries where there is persecution in the world today. All those countries that you can see that are colored are countries where there is persecution in the world today. Being a Christian is not all sunshine and roses. Being a Christian does involve getting persecuted for your faith. You may not die for your faith, but every Christian here will be persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. You'll be persecuted in your lifetime for living a godly Christian life. If you're honest or too hardworking, or if you're brave and stand up against what is wrong, you will be treated badly and even hurt. It's not a question of if you will be persecuted, it's a question of when. You will be treated badly and even hurt for living a godly Christian life. That's what the Bible says. And I'm just, as a messenger, I'm just telling you what the Bible's teaching. But know this, Jesus promises that those who are persecuted will have help. Those who are persecuted will have help, and the help we will get is in the person of the Holy Spirit. We will look at who he is and what he does and how he helps in a moment. But just remember, everyone who lives a godly Christian life will be persecuted, but you have the help of the Holy Spirit. So let's imagine someone at school is harming you or treating you poorly because they know you believe in Jesus, or because you stand out, because you're doing what is right. Know that you have the help of the Holy Spirit. You're not alone. It's not unusual to be treated poorly as a Christian. So decide now how you will respond to this. Will you pray? Will you pray for your enemies as Jesus taught? Will you ask the Holy Spirit for help? These are things you can do if you are treated poorly because of your faith. God and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us, and the Holy Spirit can help us when someone harms us or treats us poorly for our faith in Jesus. And I'll talk a little bit more about how he helps us in a few minutes. But the summary of this point is that Jesus tells his disciples he is going away. The second angle that we're going to look at is the news of Jesus going away makes his disciples sad. He says, but because I have told you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. So I would like to ask you a question, just to make sure that we're on the same page here. Why do you think the disciples were so sad that Jesus was leaving? Why? Why do you think the disciples were so sad?
They've been together for so long.
Right, they've been together maybe for 3 years. Okay, great answer. Thank you. Any other reason why the disciples might be sad? Any ideas?
Because they're still unsure of the situation, they're still lost.
Yeah, they'd be lost without Jesus. That's right. So some people say, one Bible professor said, the disciples are sad because they are about to face hatred, persecution, being thrown out of their synagogues, and perhaps even death. So that's another reason why they might be feeling sad. So I heard the story of some Eastern European men who were sad because they were going to face suffering, just like the disciples were. They had to drag a canoe dozens of miles across land, sorry, dozens of kilometers across land, to get from Run River to, say, to a lake. And they would sing as they inconveniently dragged this canoe from one body of water to another, from a lake, say, to a river. The song they sang was a sad song as they dragged the canoe across land. It's because they were suffering so much. This story is well known in their culture. And the point is that when we suffer, we feel sad. You might be feeling sad when you suffer. You might be feeling sad when you're persecuted for your faith. So sadness comes when we suffer. But the good news is the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us. It's okay to feel sad for suffering that comes from persecution for your faith. It's okay to feel sad for suffering in general. It's normal. But the Holy Spirit is there in all of our suffering because Jesus promised he would leave him for us. So we have Jesus helping presence with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and this can comfort us when we go through suffering. We should have actually great joy in the midst of difficulty, knowing we're not alone in our suffering. So God and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to help us, and that should give us comfort when we go through suffering. The news of Jesus going away saddens the disciples, but they will be comforted because the Holy Spirit will be with them. The third point is, Jesus going away, or the third angle is, Jesus going away is good because he will leave behind the Holy Spirit to his followers. We're looking at verse 7 now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. This verse means, if the disciples lose Jesus, they gain and can enjoy the permanent presence of the Holy Spirit. They lose Jesus, but they gain the Holy Spirit. It's actually to their advantage to lose Jesus and gain the Holy Spirit. Jesus left the building of his body, you could say, went to heaven with a new and glorious body, and left behind the Holy Spirit.